environment, government is the largest spender, and as a third-party solution provider, you have a great opportunity to provide lots of solutions, different types of solutions. But you have to find a way to meet the red tape. And if it means to you, you've got to find a way to deal with or do business in a within the right framework. If you're not in a, you know, if you're ready to manage the situation or manage the environment, it's different. But if you are one who would not want to manage the environment, then it's probably not the best market opportunity for you. It's pretty much everyone knows it's not easy to do work with the government and government departments.
When in around 2000, first thing, you are a first generation entrepreneur, and second thing, at around that time you were in your early 30s. So first thing, how did you handle cash of close to 40-50 crores in that age? And second thing, how did world class organizations, you know, treat you, like, because you are a first generation entrepreneur? And second thing, you are very young. So even though you know you have it in you, and even though you know you can do well with them, how do you convince them, saying that, you know, don't go to my age, look at my product? And how did you convince them, saying that, you know, me and my brother know what we are doing, and you know, we can be the right people for you? So,
okay. I think there are multiple questions, but the first part is that at the age of 30 odd, how did we manage cash? We did not have 50 crores. We had revenues of 50 crores. Yeah. So that meant that we did not have that kind of money in hand. It still would mean at that, even at that point, every month, closer to the end of the month, we would have hands, because we need to have salary bills being paid and all the overhead costs to be addressed. So it was not that there was lots of cash in the system. And so that kept us hungry and kept us going. But the other question you had was, how did we convince customers? There was, in the security industry, the challenge was two. One, if you had a few gray hairs, you were considered to be more knowledgeable, because most of the times, the people who knew the security processes, and maybe they wouldn't know technology as much, but people from the armed forces. So if you are from an armed forces background and go and sell any security service, it's a lot more easier. So in our early days, you know, we try to look as old as we can. But of course, today we would like to look as younger as we can. But the challenge is that at that point, when people think that you have a few gray hairs and you're more experienced than what you look to be, then people end up getting convinced. But more importantly, we got our business primarily from referrals from one customer to another. And we had business, lots of repeat business. If we get a customer, we would work doubly hard not to ever lose them, and not to ever lose a single opportunity from them. If somebody is setting up a new infrastructure in Coimbatore, say for example, at that point, Coimbatore was hardly a place where we would have ever imagined that we wanted to set up an office. We would go there as well. If somebody said, I'm going to Pune, yes, we will go there as well. Yeah, it is not very sensible that growing sporadically like that. It is not a very structured approach. But we would have some lead time for it. We will get a heads up about maybe 6 to 8 months, and we start looking for the right people. And then we put in place a small team. And then we would create a structure of sister-parent, sort of a sister-branch approach, where you would have one branch supporting the other branch in execution and supporting them. They would primarily start off as a sales office and then slowly become a larger office as well. So in that process, we grew with them, and they knew we were committed to grow with them, and we were keen to keep serving. So automatically they would be convinced to work with us as well. And as and when they have a problem, if they pick up the phone and call us, we would address it at all times.
So actually, I have two questions. So
want to have a mic?
First thing is, how we deal with the VC venture capitalists, because there are two kinds of venture capitalists, as I can know. One, people will want to invest only if it is a proven idea. That they will ask that if you are evaluating that business, one business, but it's not proving the case. And other people is, if it, even if it is a proven one and innovative one, they will grab equity as much as possible and make the entrepreneur something like a minority share. So how we can be?
Okay, this is a problem which, or this is a challenge which you would have once you build a business to a certain critical mass. If you're going to raise VC money or private equity money, you've reached a point where already you are at a, you know, you are a profitable business. But if you're looking at a startup and you're looking at raising angel money, clearly this is always the challenge. You need to be sure who is your investor and what is their value system. I mean, I'll talk about the Chennai Angels, for example. Chennai Angels would never want to have 51% in any business. You would always look at investing to a point where you would not hold more than 20-30%. Because it is very important for us that you have the motivation to continue building that business. If you end up having a substantially higher stake, we know that for sure you will not have the motivation. And when it comes to push comes to shove, you will walk away from the business, and what money we invest in will be worth nothing. So clearly, the investor value or the value system of the investor is important for you to decide who would be the right investor.
Yeah, I have plenty. So the selling in India as an enterprise, you know, customers in focus. Now today, as an investor today, you look at, you know, all kinds of companies, Chennai Angels, your own fund, you know, but people, today's environment, we track, you know, one, you know, internet investment a day almost. So, you know, at this point with India as a focus, and the enterprise as a focus, how would you, you know, evaluate business? You know, go after the consumers, here's the next, you know, China waiting to happen. Why are you fighting the CIOs in India who are supposed to be the most difficult to sell to? So today, in today's context with entrepreneurs coming to you, would you say go after consumers? You know, I'm assuming you have a clean slate. Or would you say, you know, nobody's going after enterprises, so this is where you go after?
Okay, if the question is about would you go after an end customer as a consumer or a corporate or a enterprise? Most of my experience has been on enterprise selling, and I've not built a business dealing with an end customer or dealing with a consumer directly. I would be comfortable looking at enterprise sales. But if you ask me what is it that I would advise and where is the opportunity, I would say any business which is now addressing a B2C opportunity looks like a great opportunity. But the key at the moment, as what I see, is most of the B2C businesses are primarily only going after the numbers to talk about the number of consumers or number of registered users. I'm a strong believer that a business is successful only when it makes money. Users, you know, valuation, all that is always there as a good, they're all good points of reference. But unless and until a business is profitable, I would not be very comfortable investing in a business like that.
The Indian CIO, and I assume at iMetrics, you sold to, you know, at a technology level or at the CEO level, you know, selling, the perception at least is that for entrepreneurs, selling to Indian CIOs and, you know, in general as an enterprise is probably the toughest market out there. And so starting here just because it's your own backyard, because they don't have a choice, or, you know, do you believe that India is a great market, you know, in terms of, you know, enterprise? People say it's the toughest market.
I would say if you're able to crack this market, you can crack any other market as well. You know, pretty much you have to find unique ways to sell. And in my own experience, a lot of the unique selling points also got delivered because the market needed it. And they became USPs, not just in this market. For sure, they were sci-fi in most of the markets. For example, most of our partner companies, when they came in to see our building and what all we could do with the system which had installed, they thought they had never seen it before. So from that point, I think we were in a point where that was actually the vision, where if we merged, we merged with Siemens and to take the combined business to a point where it can globally be accepted as great technology and an opportunity to scale that from there.
How much of iMetrics sales was to the new businesses, the ITES, BPO kind of companies versus the, you know, old industries as such?
For us, the ITES, the technology companies were a large customer base. The BFSI companies were a large customer base as well. And telecom, if you take telecom out of that first one, were also a large customer base. So it would be something like 40% for IT and maybe 20% for telecom and about 15-20% of BFSI and balance for us, including us. We did very little business with the non, because we had those challenges which I talked about.
When you said today's context again, you know, as an advisor to somebody, say like your father supported you to start with, and today somebody comes to you and say, you know, right out of college I want to start, right? Would you say, you know, go make your mistakes on somebody else's coin, work for a couple of years at Siemens, or, you know, if you have a great idea, plunge it? So.